I mentioned last week, some people call this second book of Daniel. We'll just begin by reading a few verses and then we'll move into it. Father, we thank you for your word. Always, we pray that you would guide and instruct us through it. Deliver us, Lord, from ourselves and from our thinking. Help our hearts, Lord, to be moved to the size of yours for the world that we live in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The first five words of this book set the pace for the entire book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is the revealing of the person, Jesus Christ. It reveals all that he has done, is doing, and will do. Although there are many others mentioned in this book, they are merely those whom Jesus has worked with, is working with, and will deal with. But the main character is Jesus Christ. He is not simply mentioned as prominent, one among many, but preeminent, the one and only one who has done it all. To paraphrase Dr. Jerry Benjamin, whom I took this course from last year, when we read the Bible, our goal should not be to discover the will of God, but to discover Jesus Christ, who is our life. There's a difference. We can turn the Bible into a self-help book. We try to manage our issues instead of Jesus, who died for our sin, knowing him. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Just setting the foundation for the book, still talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this goes to that piece of that verse that was left out. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And moving down to verses 10 to 14 of chapter 1, Gospel of John. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was with God creating the world, Alpha. In the beginning, God said, he released his word, let there be light, from Genesis 1, chapter 3. He spoke it out. He released the word, as it were. He brought redemption to the world. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10, 13. And he will judge the world. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. The word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 to 3, just to help us as we focus when we read the Bible. Not on each word, but on what God is saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 2 and 3. For I am jealous for you, with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Our life. Sufficient? No? Or yes? What's been your experience? Sufficient. Not sufficient to accomplish my will, but sufficient to accomplish his. So 2 Corinthians 11:2-3. Paul was not suggesting that the Corinthians would willingly walk away from the truth, but that, if not careful, could be led away from the simplicity that is in Christ. We people can get distracted with pretty much anything we find interesting. We can become obsessed over all kinds of things, and we become preoccupied with what we do for God rather than what God has done for us. It can happen, just like that. And if you think it can't, you're being foolish, because it will. That is sure the time that it will happen. Pastors can get so focused on a principle that we isolate, that is eisegete, instead of exegete the scriptures to prove our point. We find one point and we try to drag everything to it. It is actually possible to get so focused on a word study that the context in which the word was used is lost. It's also possible in the study of prophecy to become distracted with the information, opinions, and suppositions and miss Christ. This could result in our being more anchored in what we know about God than we are anchored in God, who is all-knowing, has a plan, and will execute it whether we know it or not. It could be the reason this book can seem so confusing, is that people are often more concerned with what, where, and when in this book than they are with the who of this book. And to quote again Jerry Benjamin, the book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist, it's about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the main character. Everyone else is just playing second fiddle. Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This is the messenger. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the same testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if you leave him out of the picture, you're not going to come up with the truth. What an interesting verse. It is possible, or is it possible, that we can become so focused on what Jesus is doing that we begin worshiping what he did, what he does, and what he will do, instead of worshiping him as he does it. As he does it. It's one of the reasons I deliberately put the worship service after the Word of God. And one of the things is because in my past, I have seen worship used to manipulate people so that they receive the Word better. You don't need to soften up or decorate or empower the Word of God. If you preach it properly, it will either build up or destroy a person depending on their choices. And so worshiping is centered upon what Jesus does. So we study the Word and we worship. We study the Word and we worship. It's good to study the Scriptures and look into prophecy. But if we're more excited about the facts than we are about the person of the facts, we are likely to not stay within the confines of the facts. Deuteronomy 29:29, which we mentioned last week. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And the reality of Jesus' words in John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. Nothing. We can't look into things without Jesus, without God's help, to know what we're looking at. You can't read the Bible and understand it without the Holy Spirit interpreting it to you as you go, revealing it. And so we begin with what? Reading the Bible? No. You begin with being in front of Jesus. You begin with prayer. You begin with confessing if you need to, that you might be a little headstrong or whatever it might be. And Lord, show me your word. Not for my glory, but for your glory. If a person tells you something that is true about God or the Christian life, and in fact it has not been revealed to them by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures, they're making it up. They're making it up. If you ever hear the phrase, oh, I don't think God would. Really? If I'm speaking with somebody like that, I say, prove it to me. You don't think what God would do or not do. It's not about what we think. Who Christ is being revealed in every chapter of the book of Revelation through what he does. These are his titles that you can find in the book of Revelation. He is eternal, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the Holy One, the True One, the Faithful One, the Begotten One, the Root of David, the King, the Judge, the Savior, the Lord, the Word of God, the Amen, the Blesser, the Rewarder, the One who resurrects, the Revealer, the Redeemer, and the Ruler. It's all there. In the last two chapters, he's given the names the Lamb, the Light, the Husband, the Temple, the Life, the Morning Star, the Alpha, the Omega, the Beginning, the End, the First, and the Last. The book is definitely the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything else is second fiddle. Nations and people have been moved and transformed by him since the beginning of time. And now time as we know it is coming to an end. It is not merely prominent. He is not merely prominent in this book. He's preeminent. His heart is to be preeminent in the lives of everyone. That's his heart. Not just prominent, preeminent. Our first go-to. Our final go-to. In the first chapter, Jesus Christ is being revealed as the one who reveals. In Revelation 1, we have the phrase, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Things which must shortly take place. John 17, verse 8. Just to confirm that. Something else that we're going to look at this morning is how the Bible interprets itself perfectly. And I wanted to start with that. So the words of Jesus from John 17. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So we see it way back there. He literally came to earth the first time, speaking parables and performing miracles. He will literally come again. The time of his return is described by using signs and symbols, word pictures, which portray what will literally happen. So we get a picture of what will literally happen. We're not left alone to figure out these symbols. They are revealed to us in the Scriptures. If we've read the whole Bible more than once, understanding the book of Revelation is not complicated. If you dabble in it, it will be complicated. If you've only read the word once, you're probably way smarter than me, but that would not be enough for me to begin to connect the dots. But if you are in the Word all the time, as a student, okay, more so as a believer, spending time with Jesus. The Word is alive and active, And as we read it, he applies it to our life in this situation, that situation. And then we realize, oh, wait a minute, I read that over there somewhere. That's the same. This works with that and that. And the whole story becomes smaller. So many things go on in it. But from why God created things to how he redeemed things to how he will come and reclaim and purify everything, it's just simple story with so many facts. That's different than complicated. A couple of examples of reading the whole Bible, which will help us to not eisegete the scriptures, are found from Revelation, just to give you a taste for it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. And it reads as follows. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Well, what on earth are seven golden lampstands? In verse 20 of that same chapter, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, that is the leaders, and the seven lampstands, which you saw, are the seven churches. The churches are the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. What's it made up of? People? The churches are the light of the world. The lampstands are the churches. Now, stars, I found interesting. I was reading that, just a little aside here. Stars in times past were used to give direction. These are the leaders in the churches. In the present, stars are used to mislead people through horoscopes. Where the light shines, the counterfeit angel of light, Satan, is not far behind. He loves to work in the church more than outside the church. He loves to come to church. He doesn't just try to stop you from coming. He loves to be here himself, to try to meddle and interfere. And sometimes get people all excited when they should be sitting still and thinking clearly. And they go home all emotionalized, so to speak, but not with what they need to hear about the word. Another example of the Bible interpreting itself is found in Revelation chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now that doesn't mean this is Christ. And her child was caught up to God. This doesn't mean he's going to rule the way the Romans ruled, bullying people around. It just means his rule is sure, is strong, it's going to happen, nothing's going to stop it. So, the woman is not the church, as some may suppose, but is the nation Israel. Well, how do we know this? A garland of 12 stars. Interesting. There are 12 tribes that make up Israel. And for a further reference and confirmation to Revelation 12:1, being the nation of Israel, see Genesis 37, verses 9 and 10, which is Joseph's dream. And he tells his mom and dad that you and my brothers will bow down to me. 11 stars. So it all fits in. This is Israel. But if you haven't read the Bible a few times, you might not have made that connection. And so you assume, well, it must be the church. We need to allow God to speak to us and look a little further. How can we confirm this? Matthew chapter 1. It all works together. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2 and verse 18. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Down to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Mary was a Jew of the nation Israel. you know, it all works together. And who were the people of God in the book of Daniel? Remember that in the early chapters? The people of God, Daniel, your people, it's Israel. It's Israel. So the woman in Revelation 12 is not Mary, but Mary is from the nation of Israel, and so is the church. The early church was made up of mainly Jews. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. We are the branches, the wild branch that was grafted in. Israel is the original branch and that whose God is dealing with. And he offers us salvation along the way. To the Jew first and then the Gentile. Not one above the other, but get this one and then that one. Back to Revelation 1, verse 1. Here we have the phrase, must shortly take place. The word shortly here is not being used in the sense of immediately, obviously, because it was given almost 2,000 years ago. It's in the sense of when it happens, it will happen in a short period of time. We know from the book of Daniel in chapter 7 and 8 that it will happen in a 7-year period, the tribulation. The end of the world is going to happen within 7 years. A big build-up to peace, a big crash, and the Lord returns. Revelation 1b to verse 2 is another thought in here. And he, that is God, sent and signified it by his angel to his servant, John. So here we see John, as we saw Daniel, being assisted by God to understand what he had seen. Beautiful picture of ourselves when we read the Bible and are assisted by the Holy Spirit, God, to understand what we're reading. Or to correctly understand what we're convinced we are reading. We need to read the Bible with humility, with teachableness. I can't tell you how many times I've only seen the skim, the thing on the surface. And as you go along, it goes, it's the same thing, but now it's, ooh, it's deeper than I thought. Oh, wait a minute, it's connected to that. Oh, hang on a sec. Yeah, it's not an educational thing. It's a relationship with Jesus, isn't it? It's a relationship with him. And so we're growing and he's building faith within us. And how does he do that? Well, one little bit at a time. Sometimes we have faith by the things that he gives us. Sometimes we have faith by the things that he denies us. Sometimes that even means understanding. Oh, God, I want understanding. And because God won't give us understanding in something, we walk away pouting. Where are you going? What's he trying to instill when he doesn't tell you something? Trust. Trust me. Will you trust me with that? Because you know what? Until we will trust God with what we don't understand, he probably won't be able to trust you with what he gives you to understand. Otherwise, you'll just take it and use it. But it's for his glory all the time. It's for his glory. And this is the end. I'm not saying like today, but it could be. We don't know. But we stay ready. And in this book, it tells us how it's going to go down, when it does. It doesn't tell us when it's going to go down, but it tells us how it's going to go down and how it's going to look. And we're going to see people who weren't ready and people who are ready. We're going to see Jesus looking at the church that he builds. And we're going to see what happens when man takes a hold of that. 7 churches, they all got a rebuke, some kind. One was commanded, they were small, but they could have been doing better. One church, I like this one, so I'll just give you this and then we'll quit. It says that if you don't take care of that, which you should be taking care of, I'm going to take my name off the door. And the thing that scares me is that today we have become so program developed and program oriented that we can actually have church whether Jesus shows up or not. We know the songs. We know how to speak. We can do all that. We can stand up and testify. But if Jesus isn't in it, then it's not about him. You can sing songs, beautiful songs, but if you've not bowed the heart before you start singing, it's not really praise. It's not really worship. You're worshiping the sound of your own voice. These things can happen. But God wants Jesus to be preeminent because he is our life.